You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So we are so stinking blessed. See, in a minute, I'm going to invite out a good friend of mine. This is the third year in a row. Reggie Dabbs is a friend of this house. See, a house of God, the church. We have friends of the house. We have sons and daughters of the house. Many of you are sons and daughters of this house. Met the Lord here. Come back to the Lord here. Grew in your faith here. But we also have friends of this house. People who come and minister to us year after year after year. And Reggie is a friend of this house. He's one of my friends, a mentor. He prays for us. He loves us. And we're blessed to have him in our lives and in your life. So can we give him, as he comes to the stage, a great big corn-fed Iowa welcome to Eternity Church. Come on.
Well, how you doing? Somebody do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, all right. Go ahead. You can sit down. Y'all ain't ready for me. I'm just going to say it right now. Y'all are not ready for what's about to happen up in this room. But you ain't got nothing else to do. I got nowhere else to go. It's too cold. It's so cold outside, I almost turned white. I've been waiting all day to say that one. Everybody touch your neighbor and say, it's time. Touch your other neighbor and say, get ready. 2 Kings chapter 5, that's where you're going to turn, 2 Kings chapter 5. Hey, before we go, as you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 5, if you have never heard me speak before, my name Reggie, I'm from South Florida, I'm black, and I'm a preacher. So you have a southern black preacher in the middle of Iowa. This could be a long night, but we ain't got nowhere else to go, y'all. So all you got to do is you got to talk to your neighbor. I'll make you say stuff. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to talk to you. Say it. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm going to talk to you too. Everybody now too, you got to talk to the preacher. Everybody say, come on, Reggie. Come on, somebody say, preach it, brother. Yeah, I like this. Saturday night. All right. Last but not least, have a good time. Might as well just have a good time. We here. It's warm. I love warm. I never realized how much I love warm until I came to Iowa. I love warm. Y'all ready? His name is Lou Holtz. You probably never heard of him, but if you're a man and you love football, you probably have heard of him. Lou Holtz is one of the most famous college football coaches in the history of mankind. Now, right now, I know there's women here who are going, oh, Lord, here we go. You have to have a football story. For the next three weekends, ain't nothing matter but football. So I got to go with what people want, and they want football stories. Some of you have put your whole marriage on hold until after February 3rd. You get your husband back on February 4th. That's the day after the Super Bowl, by the way, all right? But this one, you got to love that. You got to like this. Did you know that Lou Holtz was the head football coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team? Now, when he was the coach at Notre Dame, something unique happened. And I'm going to tell you right now, I heard this story from him, from Lou Holtz. We were at a benefit. He spoke right before me. I'm glad, because I didn't have to say nothing but give, and everybody gave. He got up and he goes, when I was at Notre Dame, we had rules. Everybody say rules. There's always rules. And his rule was this: if you didn't practice, you can't play. So if you missed practice, you didn't play. So they had gone the whole year, and they came to their last home game, against Georgia Tech. He had one player who had been with them for 4 years. All he ever did was special teams. But his dad passed away on Monday. And he had to go home and bury him on Wednesday. And he didn't make it back until Friday. When the boy came to practice on Friday, Lou Holtz looked at him and said, "Son, you know the rules. I can't bend the rules no matter what." And the boy said, "I understand. Can I just be on the sideline?" He says, "Absolutely. But you can't wear the jersey unless you practice." When they finished practice that Friday, Lou Holtz went home. This dude is regimented. Everything was the same. When he walked in the house, he smelled food. His wife knew he had to have dinner. It would be on the table. He'd go in, wash his hands, come in the dining room, sit down. The dinner's there, sit down and eat. He walked in that night, smelled the food, washed his hands, came in the dining room. They ain't nothing. When I mean nothing, I mean nothing. But if you got nothing, you still got ing, okay? But if you got nothing, you po with no R. There was nothing. And he goes, "Baby, where my food?" And she yelled, "I ain't feeding you until you handle your business." And he looked to where his wife would sit, and there's a jersey. It's that boy's jersey. And she yelled, "Give him his jersey, and I'll feed you your meatloaf. If you don't give him the jersey, you ain't getting nothing." Nothing. So he knew. So he said, "Fine." Grabbed the jersey, stormed out the door, went to the dorm, knocked on the boy's dorm room. The boy opened the door and said, "Coach Holtz." He goes, "Here's your jersey. I'm hungry." Turned around and walked off. Went back to his house. By the time he walked in, the food was on the table. She was smiling and says, "I love you so much." And he ate his meatloaf. Oh, by the way, some of you are going, oh, it gets better. Because that's Friday. Now it's Saturday. It's game day. All of a sudden, they do pregame warm-ups. Everything's going as planned. Everything regimented, the same thing day after day after day. It came kickoff time. This boy was on the kickoff team, and Coach Holtz said, "Go, kickoff team." The assistant said, "Do we play him?" Said, "Yes, put him in, let him do it." They kicked off the ball to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech ball caught the boy. He started running. This kid, whose dad passed away, hit him so hard, he fumbled the ball. A Notre Dame boy picked it up, running in for a touchdown. So he goes, "Wait a minute, we got to kick off again. We're up 7-0. So they kick off again. Same kid whose dad died runs down, tackles the guy at the 5-yard line. You don't forget, that never happens. All of a sudden, Lou Holtz goes, "We got to do something." And he looked at his All-American linebacker, who's like he's a sophomore, second year in college, and he said, "You're not playing. Let that kid play your spot." He goes, "He's never been a linebacker." "Well, he is today. Tell him to get the quarterback." The kid whose dad died had 4 sacks. 2 interceptions, and 1 of the interceptions, he ran back for a touchdown. Okay, now see, I can hear all the men having a good time. All the women are going. I can hear the crickets in the mind. Watch this. This has a woman element to it, and it's about to come up. At the end of the game, they go in the locker room. Every game, Notre Dame always gives the game ball. They give the game ball to this boy. He gets the ball, and they go, "Speech, speech, speech." Everybody takes a knee, and the boy stands up. When the boy stood up, he simply said this, "Oh, I know you guys know my dad died this week, and I buried him." And everybody said, "Yes, yes." He said, "Thank you for the flowers." Everybody said, "Yes, yeah." He said, "But what some of you don't know is my dad came to every game. But my dad was blind. He couldn't see. He would sit. He would be the first one in the stadium to get to his seat before he would get trampled. And he would just sit and listen to everything. The Irish fight song, the cheerleaders, the chants, the touchdown, the crowd. He said, "It hit me as we were doing pregame warm-ups. Today's the first day my dad will get to watch me play." And I just didn't want to let him down. Ladies and gentlemen, this sermon is about life today. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. All weekend, I'm here tonight, tomorrow morning. I'm doing Bible, my favorite Bible story. I got two different Bible stories. I'm going to do one tonight and do one tomorrow. I got two Bible stories. The first one tonight is in 2 Kings chapter 5. And as you're getting there, we're going to start this story. Now, remember Lou's story. Remember, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you play this game. You know what game we're talking about? We're talking about the game of life. There's good and there's bad. There's happy, there's sad. There's right, there's wrong. There's ins and outs in this game of life, but no matter what it is, somebody's watching how you respond. You can't dictate what other people say about you. You can only dictate how you respond to other people. You can't dictate the things that are coming your way, but you can dictate how you will respond to these set challenges, disappointments, the ups and the downs, the roller coasters of life. You got to understand, sometimes life will get you stuck upside down. All you got to do is push the fat down and hope they fix that ride. Because they will fix the ride. The only question is, will you be on the ride when they fix it? Man, I'm preaching good tonight, y'all. I don't know. It's Saturday. Some of y'all better catch up with me, all right? So what we call this in 2 Kings chapter 5 is a stick-em-up story. Everybody say stick-em-up story. Some of you people grew up with the whole VeggieTale thing, little vegetables telling you Jesus stories. Nah, I'm before that. I'm from another day and another time and place. I'm from a time with a flannel board. Y'all, anybody really know what I'm talking about? You had these stick-em-up peoples. You put them on the flannel board. That's the stick-em-up. See, y'all think I'm black. It's like stick-em-up. We're robbing a store. No! Y'all better get that out of your head tonight, all right? I'm just saying. This is a stick-em-up story. So everybody touch your neighbor and say a stick-em-up story. But before we do it, can I play your song? Yeah. I'm going to go old school. This is the first song I ever learned in my entire life, and it goes like this. Thank you. Somebody say, all right, all right, all right. There's a clock in the back. I just don't know how to read that. Is anyone already turned around and looked up there too? I don't know if I have 31 minutes and 55 seconds or 31 hours and 55 minutes. Second Kings chapter 5. Verse number one. Let's just walk through this story. I think it's going to help somebody tonight. I won't keep you long. I promise. I promise I won't. So here we go. In the last few moments I have with you, let me go ahead and give you a title. You know what a title is? It ain't no thing. Everybody say, it ain't no thing. Come on, say it again. Say, it ain't no thing. Now, back in the day, all brothers used to say, it ain't no thing but a chicken wing. So it ain't no thing. One more time, say it ain't no thing. Now Naaman was a commander in the army of the king of Aram. Naaman, he was a great man in the sight of his master, which was the king. And highly regarded. Everybody say highly regarded. Because through him, you notice what it says? It says through him, not through the army, not through the men, through him, through Aram, through one dude. This kid, Naaman, was the man. Through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. Dude, this is a good dude right here. He the man. But how many of you times do you know, no matter how many accolades somebody gets, there's always a but. Everybody got a butt. Take that as you want tonight. Because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Let's stop right there. Let me break this down for you. In verse 1, we have our first character, and his name is Naaman. Naaman was the warrior. He was the champion. He was the legend. He was the man. Through him, the Lord had given victory to the king. The king loved him. The people loved him. Everybody loved this man. Everybody wanted to be around this man. See, Naaman was a hero. He was respected by everyone. He was the captain. He was the captain of the army. Everything he did turned to gold. King was in awe of him. When he walked down the street, women giggled. And men said, I wish I was him. This is a man. He was it. But he had leprosy. Leprosy was an old school cancer, but it was reversed. So you know how cancer goes from the inside and works its way out? Leprosy starts from the outside and works its way in. So he had rotting flesh. There was a putrid smell. He couldn't cover it up. Day after day, as it got worse and worse, he couldn't hide it no more. He had to find out what he was going to do. But you see, I want a God who is God even in my closet. I want a God who can help me in the dark places, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, yes. He was great and he was weak at the same time. There was nowhere to go. No doctor. No Walgreens or CVS. Couldn't get no Benadryl. Alone, he came to the reality that he could not fix himself. Don't tell anybody, is what he told his wife. We can't let them find out. If anybody finds out, it'll all be gone. No more power, no more status, no more money, no more mighty man image. All gone because Naaman was a leper. The stress of hiding rotting flesh had to be too much. Naaman, the only place he could hide was at home, because there was only two women who knew what was wrong. One was his wife, and the other is our next character in verse number 2. Verse 2 says this, Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Okay, now stop right there. So verse 1, we got the man, the hero, the legend. Woohoo! Verse 2, his army went out and they took a girl. They took a girl. They kidnapped a girl. They literally captured a girl and took her from her home, brought her back, and now she works for Naaman's wife. She works in Naaman's house. So here's this girl who's been taken from her home, been taken from her people. She probably didn't even speak their language. She's like, why me? Why me? Why me? Has anyone in this room ever had something happen in your life you wish you hadn't happened? Anybody here ever wake up in the middle of the night and try to go to sleep and it's like a movie in your head from something in your past you wish you could change? Do you need to learn what to do with that stuff? Let me tell you what to do with that stuff. Give it to Jesus. He died so you don't have to take that stuff no more. He died so that you don't have to carry that burden anymore. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. That is not some incantation. I'm not just quoting from a book. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. Somebody on this Saturday night is walking through something very difficult. And I'm here to tell you, you can learn from this little stick-em-up story. Hear me out. If you're walking through something difficult tonight, if you're going through something very hard tonight, not for a minute were you forsaken. Your problem serves a purpose. So before you cast out your situation, before you rebuke your situation, before you toss aside what you're going through, you need to understand if God allowed this to happen to you, then he will be in it with you and he'll carry you through it and he'll be there on the other side. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, everything's gonna be all right. Look at your other neighbor and say, ain't no thing. That's good. I like the way y'all smiling tonight. Everybody just looking at me smiling. Keep on smiling. That means I'm preaching good. Watch this. Verse 3. She said to her mistress, if only my master would go see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy. Stop right there. Let me help you with this. She was taken from her home, kidnapped from her people, taken from her mom and dad, put somewhere that she didn't want to be. And she knew that the man behind the army that took her was this man. Now he's dying. Why would she help him? She should be going, serve him right, let him die, rot in hell. Hello? Sorry, y'all. Maybe I'm from a different time and place than you. She didn't deserve to get what she got. But this little girl realized something. You see, she was totally different from this man who was the warrior. Watch this. You see? Naaman saw this slave girl and he said this. She don't matter. She's a slave. She has no home. She's been kidnapped. She's alone. She just doesn't matter. But she did. Never dismiss the little people in this world, y'all. Never underestimate, because God will use the dumb things in this world like Reggie to confound the wise things in this world like you. I just called myself stupid and I'm happy about that. That little maid had more power than the hero. He had power because of what he did. She had power because of who she knew. Y'all ain't with me tonight, are you? I mean, let me shout back up again. He had power because of the stories, the battles he's won, the fights that he's overcome. She had power because she knew God. She knew the creator. She knew, hey, I'd rather have some power in who I know than what I'm able to do, because I can't do nothing without God. I can't make it without him. Somebody tonight is trying to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You just can't do this on your own. You need a savior. You need a savior. She didn't have to do what she did. She could have been mad. God let Naaman take the very one who had the answer to his problem. God let Naaman kidnap the answer to his sorrow, the key to him living. If this girl had stayed mad about her situation, she wouldn't be preached on a Saturday night in Iowa. But she did not let her circumstances dictate who she was. Do not let your circumstances dictate who you are. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. He died for you. He rose the third day for you. He was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes for you. He could have been born in a palace. He could have been born a king, but he didn't. He had to come so low that he could reach a brother like me and a woman like you. He chose to be that guy. He chose to come into this earth there so that no man can say that God doesn't love me. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he can use you in the hurt that you're in on a Saturday night. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, ain't no thing. Come on, say, ain't no thing. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel said this: with this letter I send you my servant Naaman. I send him to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. How would you like to be that king? You know who Naaman is. You know your country's next. You probably would have done what this dude did. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and he said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See, he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. Watch this, verse 8. Now, Elisha, he's the prophet. He's the dude everybody wants to come see, right? So Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had tore his robe. He sent a messenger and said, why you tear your robe? Oh, good. I'm so glad you got that. Because you know he knew everything. You know he says, dude, this dude Naaman, that warrior dude, he's coming to be cured of leprosy. He goes, yeah. And the king read the letter and he tore his robe. And all the man of God said, bro, why you tear your robe? Hey, can I ask y'all the same thing? Why you tear your robe? Why'd you spend your whole Saturday worrying about something that God already has in his hand? Why'd you spend your whole Saturday begging him, I don't know what to do? Why are you sulking? Why are you sad? Why are you downcast? Don't you know who the king is? Don't you know what you sing? Don't you know the song that you said tonight? Didn't you say that he could do anything? Then maybe it's time for you to stand in the middle of your pain. Stand in the middle of your sorrow. Stand in the middle of your hurt. And let God be God. Somebody say, ain't no thing. Say, ain't no thing. While you tear your robe, have the man come to me, and he'll know that there's a God and there's a prophet in Israel. Verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stopped in front of Elisha's house. Can y'all imagine? Because you know he wasn't by himself. He had like chariots, like, dude, these horses were like, man, it was a Hemi up into that hunter. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He pulls up in front of Elisha's house. Watch it. Look at verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Y'all get this? The prophet never came out. He looked at his servant and said, just go tell him to take a bath. And use deodorant. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand in front of me and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over my spots so I could be cured of my leprosy. Okay, now look, before we go any further, because he started talking about the rivers in his country, the rivers in Damascus. He says, couldn't I wash in them? And so, hey, look at me. Everybody look at me. Look at me. Some of you, you're just like him. You're just like the warrior. You want God to do it your way. God don't want to do it your way, because then that makes you bigger than him. Why don't you just trust him? Just lean not on your own understanding. Trust him. Just lean back and say, whatever it is, it's going to happen. I'm just going to trust in God. Let him see you through. Let him make a way out of no way. Man, I'm preaching good tonight. Somebody needs to listen to me tonight, because here's the deal. You want to know what the deal is? Are you ready? Obedience is the ingredient. I'm going to say it one more time. Obedience is the ingredient. Obey. Old school church song, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust him. He says he has the best for you. Why would someone who died for you want to watch you hurt? I don't even understand that. That don't make no sense. That's because you're listening to the wrong person. Y'all ready? Can I finish it? Hey, where's the band? I mean, the singers. I need all y'all. We're going to do this song again. Come on, wherever they are. They're in the back eating donuts. Watch this. Verse 13. Naaman's servant went to him and said, okay, now this is the girl who'd been kidnapped, taken from her home. You would think she did enough by going, go see the prophet, you'll be cured of your leprosy. No, now she got to come back and talk to him again. Seriously, Naaman, if Naaman was a woman, she'd be in that river just dumping already. I'm just going to be honest. Because women, y'all listen better than we do. I ain't sucking up. It's the truth. Thank you, bro. It is so true. That's why this is a man's story. And you know who's getting him? The woman. Watch this. She goes back a second time. And she's going, Naaman's servant went to him and said, okay, look. There's two words after this that get me every single time. It says, Naaman's servant, the woman who was kidnapped, taken from her home, put in this situation she didn't want to be in. Naaman's servant went up to him and said two words. Ready? She said, my father. Can we stop right there? Who calls their kidnapper father? Unless they've been brainwashed. But she has not been brainwashed. You know what she realized? That every situation has a silver lining. Every situation has hope in it. Every situation has God in it. And no matter how dark it gets, God has the light. And he'll turn it on in any given moment. And when he turns that light on, you want to be found trusting in him, loving him, leaning not on you, but just trusting in the cross, trusting in the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. She said, my father. Dude, and not only that, not only does God give you the words to say, he makes you sound smarter than you really are. She goes, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, some great feat, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you to wash and be cleansed? You know what she was saying? Get your nappy head in that water. What's wrong with you? I did not get kidnapped for you to go around acting like a fool. I just want y'all to know, I did not get kidnapped for you guys to walk around acting like a fool. This is my third time in your church, and three's a charm. You need to quit playing around with God and do what he told you to do. Trust in him. Lean on him. Let him help you. So Naaman, he went down and dipped himself into Jordan seven times as the man of God told him to do it. Everybody say one. Everybody say two. Everybody say three. You know, the third time he came up, he started looking at his hands, seeing what was going on. And guess what? It was still there. Everybody say four. Everybody say five. Then he came up again and he looked again and it's still there. But you know what the reasoning after five is? I've already done five. I might as well do seven. I'm already in here. I might as well keep on. Everybody say six. Everybody say seven. He looked down even with doubt, and the Bible says that his skin was like that of a little boy. You know what that means? God didn't just take the leprosy. He took all the scars from all the wars. All the battles, all the wounds, all the knife wounds, all the stab wounds. He didn't just take care of the situation he needed him to take care of. Took care of his whole body, yo. Oh, that was good. I just thought of that. Took care of the whole thing. All right, come on. Where y'all at? Hey, what are y'all doing? Come on. I can't sing. Come on. Please, somebody help me here. What the world needs now? Hey, man, that's good. That's good. All right, cool. You know what you're doing, right? Making just hit it. Hit it hard. Now come on, make it happen right now. Go.
Even when the fight calls, even when the war's waged, I'll take heart.
Yep.
Cause I know you are greater. Forever you are Savior. I will sing your praise.
Come on.
With all that I have, with all that
whoa,
I have.
Whoa. Easy, boy. Bring it down. 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 I just want to make sure y'all knew the right song. Y'all got to sit down. Okay, now look at me. Everybody look at me. Listen to me very carefully. That last phrase that he said is with all that I and all that I. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. So here's the deal. You know you're going through something difficult tonight. You know you're going through something very, very difficult. You know you're going through a hard time. You just got to sit there and listen to this. When he gets to that last phrase, when he starts singing with all, if you're going through something difficult and you're ready to give it to God, you're ready to let go and let God, even the anger, and you can get mad, y'all. You can get mad. And you may have all the right in the world to get mad. But can I help you out just in case you're new and never seen me before? Because you start getting angry because I'm talking about your personal business, you know? But I'll tell you mine. I don't want to know yours. I'm not Dr. Phil. That's why I point people to the cross. I can't do nothing for you. But that brother right there can, all right? I was 8 years old when I was told I was in foster care. I was 8 years old when I was told I had a brother and two sisters who I will never know. My brother's name is Keith. My sisters are Anna and Jeanette. My mom kept my brother. My mom kept both my sisters. But my mom said that I was a mistake and she hated the day I was born. I was born because my mom's husband left her 3 days before they were evicted from their house. My mom slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and my sisters. I'm the result of a $20 bill. But one day, I decided, with all that I am, I'm just going to give it to God. That I can't carry that. I can't carry. They call me Bastard Kid, all right? I didn't have a last name till I was 14 years old. My name was just Reggie. But a janitor who put me in his home and raised me gave me his last name when I was 14. I can't change none of that. Now you're starting to get it, aren't you? Because see, I'm just a slave in a home, in a country, in a world that I don't belong in. But since I'm here, I'm going to point people to my prophet. I'm going to point people to my king. I'm going to let people know the same God that can take care of me can take care of you. You remember I said that you are better than me. Now you know you really are better than me. You probably know what your mama looks like, your daddy looks like. Now some of you are going to come up to me and goes, oh, Reggie, the Lord has a plan for your life. I'm the preacher, duh. Don't y'all know I already know that? I mean, you can waste your breath and say it if you want. But here's the deal. I'm not special. I'm just a brother from another mother who trusted in a God who is real. And maybe it's time for you with all that you have. Maybe it's time for you to just stand on top of the hurt, stand on top of the pain. Some of you, it's years of hate, years of sorrow. You remember what your daddy said to you that he shouldn't have never said, what your mama did that shouldn't have never been done. You got to stand up tonight. You got to let that go and let God be God. You got to dip 7 times in His Holy Spirit and let Him change your life.